Okay, itong month ng July, gaya ng aking ipinaliwanag, ay 500th anniversary of John Calvin's birth. At inaalala natin siya sapagkat isa siya sa pinakamainfluensyang tao sa kasaysayan at sa aking palagay sa larangan ng Kristiyano, sa larangan ng kasaysayang Kristiyano, certainly one in a handful that we could really attribute so much influence, so much of what has transpired in Christianity because of that one man, John Calvin. So tinignan natin siya as a man sa first Sunday. Tinignan natin yung kanyang incredible ministry last Sunday. And now, in these next two Sundays, ngayong Sunday at next Sunday, the Lord willing, we shall concentrate on what has been associated with the name of Calvin. Calvinism, fairly or unfairly, ay naiugnay yung kanyang pangalan doon sa pangalan ng isang set of doctrines na tinatawag ngayon na Calvinism. Now, let me make myself very clear. It would be unfair to say that Calvin himself majored on these issues. Kung pag-aralan nyo ang kanyang institutes, pag-aralan nyo ang kanyang commentaries, pag-aralan nyo yung marami niyang isinulat, at hindi natin mababasa siguro lahat yun, pero ang punto ay, it would be wrong to say that John Calvin centered all his attention to these points of doctrine na pag-aaralan natin. It would be unfair to say that because John Calvin himself majored on the gospel. He majored on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yun ang kanyang talagang pinaka-tinutukan sa kanyang mga pangangaral. But this has been labeled Calvinism. Let me make myself also clear in this regard. Yung pangalang Calvinist ay hindi ibig sabihin na ang isang Calvinist ay tagasunod ni Calvin. Ito ay pangalang tumutukoy sa theology, set of doctrines. I rarely use the term Calvinist myself to refer to my theology. I prefer the term Reformed. Hindi lahat ng Calvinist ay Reformed, pero pag Reformed ay Calvinistic yung kanyang theology. Kaya I prefer Reformed because mas broad yung kanyang tinutukoy na theology. Ang salitang Calvinist ay mas tumutukoy doon sa contrast ng Calvinism in contrast with Arminianism. Kaya ito ay mga theological labels. Hindi po siya tumutukoy sa isang tagasunod ng isang tao. We should avoid that idea that a Calvinist is one who simply follows Calvin for what he says. That's not true. This is a theological label. At yung theological label na yan ay para i-contrast sa iba pang theological labels kagaya ng Arminianism. So a bit of history is important dito. Mahalaga yung kasaysayan. Ang key year ay the year 1610. Kaya makikita ninyo na matagal nang patay si Calvin by this time. Calvin died, his death was in 1564. Kaya matagal nang patay si Calvin when these things happened. In 1610, merong mga tagasunod si Jacobus Arminius, or in some English history will be called James Arminius. Jacobus Arminius ay may mga tagasunod siya. Patay na rin si Arminius dito, but may mga tagasunod siya na itinaguyod yung kanyang mga turo at ang ginawa nila ay nagprotesta sila sa kanilang simbahan at ito'y nangyari sa Dutch Church, Netherlands, the year 1610. At yung tawag sa movement na ginawa nilang pagprotesta sa ilang puntos ng doktrina ay Remonstrance. At yung kanilang mga tinaguyod ng mga doktrina ay pinotesta nila ang ilang puntos. Ang puntos na yun ay 5 points. Kaya pag may nagsasabi, why is Calvinism about 5 points? Because those were the points protested by the Arminian party. Hindi ito inimbento ng Calvinist na ito dapat ang mga doktrina natin, kundi inatake at na kinailangang depensahan, kinailangang ipaliwanag yung 5 puntos na yon na pinrotesta ng mga Arminians. So the reason why there are 5 points of Calvinism is because there were 5 points protested by the Arminian party. So yan yung kaganapan ng 1610. At makikita niyo yung uri ng communication noon sapagkat yung sagot, formal na sagot, ay binigay ng 1619. magpo-protesta ka, ang sagot sa iyo ay 10 taon pagkatapos. Pero ganyan yung state of communication noon. Siguro yung protesta na yan ay darating sa formal church a year after, and then magkakaroon pa ng mga exchange of communication. Pero nangyari, ang tinatawag na Synod of Dort, yan ay sa Netherlands din, at yung Synod of Dort ay ipinagtanggol nila yung pinrotestang 5 puntos, kung kaya't nagkaroon ng tinatawag na 5 points of Calvinism is because they stood for what has been the mainstream teaching of the church. Kumbaga, ito ang tinindigan na, hindi naman pinoprotesta until 1610, at nung pinotesta, napilitan silang lalong ipaliwanag, at kaya tinawag ng Calvinism is because John Calvin was the most eloquent and the most systematic theologian of these points of teaching. Kaya ganyan na lagay yung 5 points ng Calvinism. So yan yung kasaysayan niyan. Kaya nagkaroon ng 5 puntos ng doktrina na tinatawag na Calvinism ay dahil sa protesta ng Armenian Church, at mula noon ay dyan na tinaguyod yung tinatawag na 5 points of Calvinism. Now in English, para ito mapadali, ay binigyan ng mnemonic, the mnemonic na tulip. Eh, alam niyo naman sa Netherlands, ang kanilang national flower ay tulip. Kaya ginawang tulip para sa mnemonic. Naalala ko, meron nakipag-debate sa akin na foreigner, galit na galit siya. Sabi niya, "I hate the tulip because I love the lily of the valley." Well, pero tingnan natin itong tulip. Nandiyan naman sa inyong handout. Yung tulip tumutukoy sa the following terms. T stands for total depravity. Ano yung total depravity? Bibigyan ko lang ng mga bukod. Yung total depravity, sinasabi na yung kasalanan ay naapektuhan ang buong katauhan. Now, let me make myself clear. Hindi sinasabi na walang iba kundi kasalanan ng tao. Hindi totoo yan. Hindi yan tinuturo ng Calvinism. Yan ang abuse ng iba. But Calvinism simply teaches that sin has affected every part of man, every part of humanity, which includes will. Kaya minsan yan ang pinagtatalunan ng iba, hindi kayo naniniwala sa free will, hindi rin totoo yan. In fact, sa confession of faith natin, ay merong chapter on free will. We believe in free will. We believe that man is free and not forced. Pero the will is affected by sin. And because the will is affected by sin, it cannot will the gospel. Hindi pwedeng pabayaan lang sa sarili niya, loloobin ng tao yung ebanghelyo. Hindi totoo yan. Ang ebanghelyo ay merong spiritual na bagay na yung makasalanan hindi gugustuhin. Anong sabi ng Panginoon? No one can come to me except the Father draws him. So, yan ang total depravity. Sin has affected every part of man. Ano yung you? Yung you ay unconditional election. Yan ang pinakamatindi siguro na pinagtatalunan. Ang sinasabi niyan, God made a sovereign choice of those He will save by grace. Ayan, tinindigan niya ni John Calvin ang paulit-ulit. Isa sa mga pangungusap niya riyan sa inyong handout number 3 citation, by an eternal and immutable counsel, God has once for all determined both whom He would admit to salvation and whom He would condemn to destruction. You cannot be clearer than that. Yan ang sinasabi niya. Bakit may naligtas? Ang pinag-umpisahang dahilan, ang pinakasanhi, ay sapagkat hinirang ng Diyos yung kanyang mga ililigtas. Kung hindi sa kanyang paghihirang, walang kaligtasan. Again, citation number 5, whatever blessings God confers on His own people proceed from eternal election, a perpetual fountain. So yan, hindi natin tututulan na itinuturo yan ng Calvinistic theology. Yung doktrina ng if there is salvation, it is not by originally by human decision, it is originally by God's decision. If not for God's decision, no one will be saved. That's what we're saying, and that's what we're teaching. And then L, isa rin yan sa, siguro, yan ang pinaka-controversial sa 5 points na yan, limited atonement. Again, gusto ko rin ipaliwanag ito, mas ipapaliwanag ko ito next Sunday, but kailangan ko rin ipaliwanag ng maikli ngayon. I do not like the term limited atonement for this simple reason. Whatever your position, you limit the atonement. Kaya maling sabihin na yung Calvinist ang nagli-limit ng atonement. Everybody forcibly limits the atonement. Ibig sabihin, yung cross ay lilimitahan mo in one of two ways. Lilimitahan mo yung power, which means that, yes, Christ died for all, but His death cannot save all. And in that sense, you limit it. Whereas the Calvinist says, Christ died for those whom God has chosen, so that everyone for whom Christ died is saved. So the power is total, but the extent is limited for whom Christ died. Kaya everybody limits the atonement, kaya ang Calvinist mas pinipreferr niya yung term na particular redemption kesa limited atonement. Particular redemption means that Christ died intentionally to save those whom the Father has chosen. Sino yung hinirang ng Diyos na iligtas para sa kanila? Mabisang namatay si Kristo. Yung kanyang kamatayan ay nagkaroon ng bisa para doon sa mga hinirang ng Diyos. And then I, irresistible grace, means that yung makasalanan mismo na hinirang ng Diyos para sa kanya namatay si Kristo, pero siya mismo ni hindi lalapit maliban na mabisa siyang kilusin ng Diyos. So kinakailangan may mabisang pagkilos ang Diyos sa kanya para lumapit siya kay Hesukristo. At yan ang tinatawag na irresistible grace. Again, let me make myself clear. It doesn't mean that we never resist grace. We have resisted grace. Some of us have resisted grace for years. But grace for the elect will always prove irresistible in the end. Ibig sabihin, magkakaroon ng bisa ang Ebanghelyo sa kanya. Yan ang irresistible grace. Makikita natin yan sa nangyari kay Lydia, Acts 16:14. Sinabi roon, kinilos ng Diyos yung kanyang puso upang siya'y manampalataya sa Ebanghelyong ipinapangaral ni Apostol Pablo. So that's irresistible grace. And then, letter P, perseverance of the saints. It means that those who are saved are preserved and will persevere. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, yung mga hinirang ng Diyos para sa kanila namatay si Jesucristo at mabisang kinilos upang manampalataya, lahat ng yan ay may ingatan ng Diyos. Walang mawawala sa kanila. May ingatan ng Diyos, walang mawawala ng kaligtasan, at sila mismo ay magpapatuloy hanggang sa kamatayan na mananampalataya at magpapakabanal kay Hesukristo. So, yun ang tinatawag natin na 5 points of Calvinism, at yan ang theology na tinitindigan natin, na masasabi natin ay napakahalaga. Sa conclusion ng Synod of Dort, ito ang kanilang sinabi. Finally, this synod exhorts all their brethren in the gospel of Christ to conduct themselves piously and religiously in handling this doctrine, both in the universities and churches to direct it, as well in discourse as in writing, to the glory of the divine name, to holiness of life, and to the consolation of afflicted souls, to regulate by the scripture according to the analogy of faith, not only their sentiments but also their language, and to abstain from all those phrases which exceed the limits necessary to be observed in ascertaining the genuine sense of the Holy Scriptures, and may furnish insolent sophists with a just pretext for violently assailing or even vilifying the doctrine of the Reformed churches. May dalawang hanay itong sinasabi. Yung una ay yung gamit ng doktrinang ito. Inuutusan niya yung mga mangangaral mga theologians ng mga simbahan at ng mga universidad na pumapailalim sa kanila, inuutusan sila na gamitin lamang ang doktrina na ito at sinabi sa tatlong bagay. Una ay para sa ikaluluwalhati ng pangalan ng Diyos. So, nakikita nila what is involved here is the glory of God. Hindi pinag-uusapan dito yung label lang, ay Calvinist ka, Arminian siya. Hindi po yan ang pinag-uusapan lang dyan. Ang nakasalalay dito ay paano maluluwalhati ang Diyos. Nakita nila na kapag ang mga doktrinang ito ay pabayaan, ito ay magkukulang at makukompromiso yung kaluwalhatian ng Diyos. Pagsabihin mo halimbawa na naligtas ako nang dahil sa sarili kong desisyon, hindi dahil sa original na paghihirang ng Diyos, well, to that extent, sinasabi nila na hindi na ibigay ang luwalhati sa Diyos. So you come back to God in all the aspects of salvation. At ito ang doktrina na magbabantay dyan. Kaya nakita nila na gamitin ang doktrina na ito sa ikaluluwalhati ng Diyos, at pagkatapos ay gamitin ang doktrina na ito para sa kabanalan ng buhay. And again, nakita nila na magkukulang sa kabanalan kapag hindi tumitindig sa doktrina na ito. Isang halimbawa niyan ay perseverance of the saints. Sa perseverance of the saints, sinasabi natin na yung mga talagang nanampalataya magpapatuloy sa kabanalan. Hindi lang ito, once saved, always saved. Yan ang akala ng iba. Akala nila ang perseverance of the saints, ang ibig sabihin lang ay eternal security. Na once saved, always saved. It's a small part of the doctrine. Yes, salvation will never be lost. Pero ang sinasabi ng doktrina na yan, yung tunay na may salvation, ang ebidensya ay nagpapatuloy siya sa kabanalan. Kaya pag hindi nagpapatuloy sa kabanalan, may duda sa kanyang kaligtasan. Hindi ibig sabihin na nawala yung kanyang kaligtasan, kundi may duda sa kaligtasan ng isang taong hindi nagpapatuloy sa kabanalan. That's perseverance of the saints. Kaya binabantayan yung kabanalan sa pamamagitan ng mga doktrina na ito. At ikatlo, nagamit daw ng doktrina, the consolation of afflicted souls. The consolation of afflicted souls, meaning yung ikaaaliw ng mga nabibigatan ng mga mananampalataya. And again, this is a very consoling doctrine. Kung isipin mo na nakabatay pala sa kalooban ng Diyos, isipin nyo na lang kung batay sa sarili natin. Kailangan magpakatatag ka, kailangan magpakatiis ka. At dahil kung hindi, mawawala ang kaligtasan mo. Ay isipin nyo yung ganong klaseng doktrina, asan ang konsolasyon dyan? Whereas yung tinuturo ng doktrinang ito yung sa awit ni John Newton, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Biyaya ang nagpapatiis sa atin. At biyaya ang magpapahantong sa atin sa kahulihan ng pananampalataya. Biyaya ng Diyos. That's the consolation. And yan ang nakita ng Synod of Dort sa doktrina na ito. Kaya hindi ito pang skirmish lang, yung pakikipagtalo ng theology. Ang nakita nila rito ay kaluwalhatian ng Diyos, kabanalan ng kaluluwa, konsolasyon o kaaliwan ng mga nasa kahirapan. And that's an important understanding of these doctrines. We use it practically. But then, meron namang babala. It warns against imbalance and going beyond scripture. Ang sinabi rito, it will furnish insolent sophists. Tinutukoy yan na yung mga pilosopo at sabihin nila, mga bagay silang sasabihin kasi ini-stretch natin masyado, madaling i-stretch yung ganitong doktrina. At ito ang binababala, sinabi rito na magsalita ka lang kung ano yung nasa kasulatan. At yan ang gagawin natin. What I will do just for this Sunday is contrast biblical Calvinism with its abuse known as hyper-Calvinism. Next week, titingnan natin yung Calvinism in contrast with Arminianism. So ito yung talagang contrast nito. But just for this Sunday, dahil naaabuso yung Calvinism at ito'y nangyayari ngayon, I want us to understand Calvinism in balance by contrasting it with its abuse, known as hyper-Calvinism. So dalawang bagay yung gusto kong ipaliwanag. Una, there can be a saving gospel without the formal theology of Calvinism. So hindi natin sinasabi na yung mga Calvinist lang ang mga Kristiyano. May mga nga nagsasabi niyan. Yung mga hyper-Calvinists, and we reject that totally. Hindi natin sinasabi na the gospel is Calvinism. Now, if you're not a Calvinist, you can't be a Christian. That is not true, and that is an abuse of this doctrine. There are many good Christians who have rejected the Calvinist theology. An example of one I admire is the Wesleys. John Wesley is a powerful preacher used by God mightily. Charles Wesley, marami tayong inaawit na awitin ni Charles Wesley, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great dear Redeemer's praise." Many good hymns which show the grace of God are compositions of Charles Wesley. Kaya there are good Christians who were never Calvinists until now. At marami akong kilalang mga mabubuting Kristiyano, at hindi kailangan na makipag-disfellowship tayo sa kanila at sabihin natin, hindi ka Calvinist, wala akong pakialam sa iyo. Yan ang abuso ng Calvinism na nangyayari sa mga hyper-Calvinists. Now, pag sinabi natin gospel, what is the irreducible gospel? The irreducible gospel ay yung sinabi ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him as crucified." Yan ang dalawang elemento ng Ebanghelyo na hindi maaring bawasan pa. Si Kristo at siya bilang ipinako sa krus. Hindi ba't yan ang inulit-ulit natin sa ating serye sa Galacia? Yan naman ang tinututukan lagi ni Pablo. In Galatians, walang argumento ng election. It does not even occur in the letter to the Galatians. Walang concept ng predestination. Important as those things are, they are not the gospel. Kaya huwag nating sabihin na bago ka maging tunay na Kristiyano, yan na kailangan ikaw ay Calvinist. Hindi totoo yan. Ang Kristiyano ay Kristiyano ng dahil kay Kristo at pagtanggap sa kanyang paraan ng kaligtasan ng kanyang krus. Yung kamatayan niya para panagot sa batas ng Diyos. Yan ang basic gospel, and we believe in that. That's the irreducible gospel. There can be genuine Christian faith without Calvinism, which is to say, there can be a gospel without the best of theology. So, very practical ito sa pakikipagsalimuha natin sa ibang mga Kristiyano na hindi natin kadoktrina. Pag isipin mo ito, wala ka dapat prejudice na hindi maganda ang fellowship namin dahil wala siyang Calvinism. Well, you should never have that kind of attitude. Kapag kausap mo ay alam mong mananampalataya, huwag mo munang ialamin, ikaw ba'y Calvinist? Ang gusto mong malaman, ikaw ba'y alagad ni Kristo? At kung alagad ka ng Panginoon, pwede tayong manalangin magkasama, pwede tayong mag-fellowship, mag-usap ng edifying, good fellowship with all true believers, whatever their theology. However, having said that, I will maintain that without Calvinism, understanding of the gospel will be both immature and inadequate. Kulang. At ito ang sinasabi natin kanina na pag nakikita lang ng isang Kristiyano ay nanampalataya siya dahil sa kanyang free will, at hindi niya nakikita na ang dapat balikan nito ay ang paghihirang ng Diyos, it does not give God the full glory. So it will be immature. It will be inadequate. And it has been my frustration many times trying to fellowship with believers who reject Calvinism, and kapag pinag-uusapan na yung kaluwalhatian ng Diyos at yung katiyakan ng Kristiyano, balik sila ng balik sa pakiramdam nila, balik sila ng balik sa kanilang mga karanasan sa halip na pumunta sa biyaya ng Diyos. So that is the immaturity where there is no Calvinism. But so I'm saying there can be a saving gospel without a formal theology of Calvinism. At ikalawa, ito pang isang abuso, Calvinistic preaching believes and practices the universal offer of the gospel. Akala ng iba, yung Calvinist ay yung taong hinahanap sa anang elect. Kung sino yung hinirang ng Diyos sa kanyang pinangangaralan, hindi ko po iniisip yon. Kapag ako'y nangangaral, sino kaya sa mga nakikinig sa akin ang elect? I don't think of that and I don't worry about that because it's God who knows. Etong nangyari sa hyper-Calvinists. Ang hyper-Calvinists, they refuse to make an indiscriminate offer of the gospel. Ibig sabihin, hindi sila tatayong mga ngaral at sasabihin sa lahat, lumapit kayo kay Kristo. Ayaw nilang gawin yan. Baka may mga hindi elect sa kanilang mga pinangangaralan. Eh, at kaya't nandun lagi yung kanilang refusal for indiscriminate offer to unbelievers. But ipaliwanag natin na the doctrine of election is not contradictory to God's desire for the salvation of all. Ito'y ipinahayag sa Biblia. God desires salvation of all. At itininturo yan sa theology ng Calvinism. E sinasabi niyo, contradiction yan, hindi ba? Sinasabi mo, God chose those whom He will save. Now you're saying God desires the salvation of all. Well, this is the challenge of biblical discipleship. Pag sinabi ikaw ay alagad ng kasulatan, kung anong sinabi ng kasulatan, kahit pa sa lohika mo ay parang magkasalungat, eh dapat mong tanggapin. Ganyan nangyari yung doktrina ng Trinidad. Nakita mo sa kasulatan na may isang Diyos lamang, pero nakikita mo sa kasulatan na ang Ama ay Diyos. Tinawag na ang Anak ay Diyos. Tinawag na ang Banal na Espiritu ay Diyos. Hindi naman ang Ama ay ang Anak. Hindi naman ang Anak ay ang Espiritu. Magkakaiba silang persona, pero tinawag silang Diyos, ngunit iisa ang Diyos. Eh anong gagawin natin? Sabihin natin tatlong Diyos? Hindi. Sabihin natin na ang Ama ay siya rin ang Anak at siya rin ang Espiritu? Yan ang ginagawa ng iba kasi pinipilit nilang gawing lohika nila. Ang tunay na pagkaalagad sa kasulatan ay magsasabi na tatanggapin kong iisa ang Diyos, tatanggapin kong ang Ama ay Diyos, ang Anak ay Diyos, ang Espiritu ay Diyos, ngunit hindi tatlo ang Diyos. That's biblical discipleship. Well, the same thing is true dito. Sinabi, tinuro ng salita ng Diyos, God desires the salvation of all. 1 Timothy 2:4, 2 Peter 3:9, at marami pa. At kung itinuro yan, tatanggapin ko yan, pero maliwanag ding itinuro ang pagtatalaga ng Diyos sa kanyang mga ililigtas. So anong pipiliin mo? Ang pinili ng Arminian, pinili niya na maniwala siya na gusto ng Diyos na iligtas ang lahat, pagkatapos tinanggihan niya ang election. Ang ginawa naman ng hyper-Calvinist, pinili niya ang election at tinanggihan niya yung God desires the salvation of all and therefore offers to all. Ang Calvinist, tinatanggap niyang pareho kasi parehong nasa kasulatan. Kaya tinatanggap natin, God sovereignly chose those whom He will save, yet we also accept that God desires the salvation of all and that God offers to all the saving grace of the gospel. Nandito yan sa citation number 8 ng inyong handout kay Calvin. Sabi niya, so great is the sluggishness of men that it is difficult to arouse them. They do not feel their wants, though they are hungry, nor do they desire food, which they greatly need. And therefore, that indifference must be shaken off by loud and incessant cries. Besides, the invitation is general. For there is not man who is not in want of those waters, and to whom Christ is not necessary. And therefore, he invites all indiscriminately, without any respect of persons. Now, that's John Calvin. Sinasabi niya, he is inviting everybody. Without respect of persons, he's not inviting just the elect. He is inviting all. At dapat makita yan sa ating pangangaral. Sana naririnig niyo yan sa aking pangangaral. I invite all. I say that the gospel is for all and God wants you to be saved. At yan ang isang abuso ng Calvinism na nangyayari sa hyper-Calvinism dahil pinili lang nilang election at hindi itong katotohanan ng universal offer, eh wala silang universal offer to all. Whereas biblical Calvinism is that which says, yes, I believe in election, but I also believe in God's universal offer of the gospel to all. Kaya ang challenge nito sa atin ay, let us hold to the truth of God's sovereignty. As the issue of Calvinism is about God's sovereignty, and yet, we believe in the gospel, and we must hold this in balance. Kaya this is Calvinism against the abuse of hyper-Calvinism. Any question? Yes, Jean.
Pastor, maybe you have said this, kaso hindi ko lang narinig. What is the Synod of Dort? And why Calvinism has become the label of TULIP?
Well, yes. The Synod of Dort ay yung tinawag, yung sinasabing synod, ito po yung representation ng iba't ibang mga leaders of churches na nagpulong para pag-usapan ng mga bagay-bagay na may kinalaman sa tema na yon. Kaya yan ang synod. Ang isang Presbyterian church ay pinamamahalaan ng synod. So yan ang tinatawag na synod, yan ang namamahalang kapulungan sa iba't ibang mga simbahan ng isang Presbyterian system. We are Baptists, we're not Presbyterian, so we do not believe in the rule of synods. But that's the case sa Presbyterian churches, meron silang synod. At ginamit naman ng Panginoon ang synod na ito. Yung Dort ay isang syudad sa Netherlands. Kaya Synod of Dort. At sa Netherlands, ang tawag nila sa Calvinism ay hindi Calvinism, ang tawag nila ay Dort System. Pero sa mas nakararami, yung lumabas na sistema ng doktrina sa Synod of Dort ay dahil mas hindi sila pamilyar sa Dort, kung ano ba yan, ay tinawag nila na Calvinism in honor of the man who more than anyone has defended and has systematized this doctrine in the institutes of the Christian religion. Kaya in honor si Calvin ng doktrina na ito. Pero sa nakita nga natin, Calvin was long dead before it was even raised sa simbahan. Kaya hindi ito dahil pagsunod kay Calvin, kundi bilang pag-honor sa kanyang memory, tinawag na Calvinism. Other questions or other thoughts? Yes, Jomel.
To avoid confusion, kasi naka-witness ako sa isang church na pinagtatalunan talaga nila yung free will and what's that? Election. For me, medyo naguluhan kami. That's why we search at taka nagtanong kami. Tapos now, ngayon, in a way, naliwanagan ako kasi natatakot ako in a way dun sa church na yon. Kasi some are election, yung belief nila, na hindi naman nila naiintindihan. And some are election, yung belief nila, na naglalaban-laban sila to the point na merong pro-election, may pro free will. So as our ngayon nakikita ko, although it's not malalim, what should be our stand if we witness like those? At saka ano yung dapat alamin, tanggapin, just like what you have said, the presentation of God with three person, na now that ngayon ko naliwanagan sa akin, kasi na-witness ko rin kung paano sila magtalo, and to the point na nag-back off kami for a while to study their beliefs. Kasi medyo natatakot ako kasi doon sa church na yon. Kasi dahil parang ang naging stand ay parang maximum tolerance. Parang hindi ko matake na I will do the maximum tolerance na, well, in fact, kasi sa church ka, what the pastor and the leader should have a stand kung ano talaga yung ipinapa ano mo yung pinapam pinaniniwalaan mo to avoid confusion and even ano ba yan separation or division of church. Yun ang aking question na question ko before sa inyo.
Yeah. It's a very good question. Set of questions actually. So sasagutin ko yung dalawang bagay. Una yung issue ng free will dahil may confusion pa rin diyan. At pagkatapos yung usapin ng pagtatalo ng election as against anti-election, anong papel niya, anong dapat kalabasan niya sa isang iglesia. So una sa free will, parehong naniniwala sa free will, even Calvinists and Arminians. Ang kalmalian ng free will ng Arminian ay ganito. Naniniwala tayo sa free will. Meaning that it is our choice. Not coercion. So, yung ginagawa natin ay ginawa natin dahil pinili natin. We chose it. We were not coerced into it. Yung maling free will ng Arminian, the better term is neutral will. Ang sinasabi nila kasi, the will is neutral between good and evil. Kaya anytime, pwedeng mamili ito ng good, pwedeng mamili ng evil, anytime pwedeng piliin ang gospel, pwede siyang masave. Hindi ganun ang free will sa Calvinist. The free will of the Calvinist is an evil free will. Kaya sinabi nga natin yung total depravity, even the will is affected by sin. Now that will is free. It does its choice. Except that because it is evil, its choices are evil. And it will never choose the gospel on its own until God in grace shall regenerate it. So yan ang sinasabi natin pagkakaiba. Naniniwala tayo sa free will, nasa confession of faith natin yan, but the free will of the sinner is evil until awakened by the grace of God. Yung sinasabing free will ng Arminians ay in reality neutral will, neutral between good and evil, and that is unbiblical. Ngayon, sa isang iglesia, pwede bang merong mga naniniwala sa election, may mga hindi naniniwala sa election, kumbaga tatanggapin ba natin ang isang candidate for membership who is not a Calvinist? My answer to that may surprise some of my colleagues. My answer is yes, affirmative, because make disciples of all men, baptize them, and then teach them. So kung sasabihin natin in our terms ngayon, make him a Christian by the grace of God, baptize him, and hope to God you can make him a Calvinist. But you don't reverse the issue na make him a Calvinist first, then baptize him. Maling-mali po yun. Kaya pwede bang sa isang iglesia merong mga non-Calvinists? Yes. Pero, anong sabi sa 1 Timothy 1:3? Sabi ni Paul kay Timothy, you do not let anyone teach any other doctrine. Hindi pwedeng pagturuin, hindi pwedeng magpakalat ng lumalabag sa tinitindigan ng iglesia. So the church should have a clear agenda. And in our church, we don't have a hidden agenda. We are a Calvinistic church in terms of this theology. We are Reformed. We are Baptist. So, pag may papasok na candidate for membership and all that he can say ay Christian siya, and if on examination talagang Christian siya, he or she will be accepted fully, full-fledged member. Pero, alam niya na ang tinitindigan ng iglesia ay ang ganitong doktrina. At dapat may tinitindigan ng iglesia. Yung tinatawag natin, may confession of faith. Hindi pwede yung iglesia na we are just a gospel church and beyond the gospel, free for all. Hindi pwede ang ganung boneless confession sa church. Kinakailangan may tinitindigan. Does that answer you or any follow-up? I'm sorry.
How about the election?
Sa election, sinabi ko na when it comes to election, the church must have a clear position on the doctrine of election. But can we accept as member someone who does not believe in election but believes in the gospel? My answer is yes. But may confession ng church. Hindi pwedeng labagin ang confession na iyon. So kung meron siyang pinanghahawakan na hindi according to the confession, panghawakan niya on his own, but he cannot circulate it and he cannot publicly teach sa church.
Pastor, just in case, let's say, rephrase. Kung ganun ang stand ng church na compromise, maximum tolerance, hindi ba confusing yon?
Well, definitely. And the stand of the church is not maximum tolerance. Well, we have a position. And this is the position of the church. But we do not reject those who do not yet hold the position just because they're not Calvinists, therefore they're not Christian. So they are they may be true Christians, and if they are true Christians, they can be baptized, but then they will have to receive the teaching of the church. Na sinasabi nga sa Matthew 28, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all things.
Nakakatawa itong topic na to kasi we've been to different churches. Nagvi-visit kami ng iba't ibang churches. Pero ngayon ko lang nakita na how Grace Baptist Church stand ko, ano talaga yung ano nila, doctrine, tsaka yung confession of faith nila. In other churches na natindan namin, talagang ano talaga, yung parang talagang ako sinabi ko talaga, I cannot tolerate that maximum tolerance. I told to the pastor and to the leader, the chairman of the board, na our family will not stand for the maximum tolerance. As a church, you have to stand kung ano yung confession of faith natin. Hindi ko matotolerate. As of now, hindi ko talaga matotolerate na dalawa yung belief ninyo. Tapos, I don't know kung mabibless tayo na among you are from election and free will. Nakakalito. And tapos, and I pointed out na to the point na, let's say I'm not a Christian. Let's say, what am I? I'm a free will or election when you share the gospel? Then when he comes or she comes to the church, anong confession of faith mo? Anong belief mo? That's my question to them. So ngayon, na-clear sa amin na after knowing you've been saved, baptized, then aside from what the Bible says, kailangan din pala natin aralin yung Calvinism in a way. So which is, hindi namin panalalaman yung Calvinism because hindi naman kami Arminianism. But then, ngayon ko nalinawan na kailangan alamin siya. And then, natutuwa din ako doon sa nakita namin, na witness namin. Kasi bad or good, natututunan namin now na kailangan na as a Christian, palalimin mo pa, alamin mo yung both stand. Tapos, nung natutuwa ako kasi matapang din akong sabihin na I cannot tolerate this, yung paniniwala ninyo. Kailangan, ininsist ko talaga na you have to stand as a church, whether free will or election, or tanggapin nyo pareho. At this point in time, hindi ko matotolerate yung maximum tolerance. Kasi nakakatakot kasi pag yun ang pastor nagmagaano, may ejection siya ng election. Tapos pag isa yung pastor, parang that's confusing. That's what I told him.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate yung thoughts. And of course, like I said, hindi maximum tolerance ang position ng church. I like to call it patience with those who are in error. But I will call it error. So I'll be patient with those who are still in error, but I will already call it error. Pero hope that they will accept the teaching that will make Calvinists out of them. Sige po.
I just want to point out the word ism. Ism. Calvinism, Arminism. Since they are both ism, pareho silang ism. they believe in the doctrine quoted in the Bible, parehong biblical as the way.
Hindi po parehong biblical. Sinasabi kong magkasalungat sila.
Magkasalungat.
Yung isim ay suffix lang po yan na sinasabi yung position.
Position lang. Since Paul has said that I am no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Si Kristo lang ang nabubuhay sa akin, hindi na ako. Sa sarili ko ang nabubuhay. Ang batas ng law of the spirit of life, ang batas ng espiritu ang nabubuhay sa kanya. Sa mga pangdoktrinang samahan religion o mga Christianism, punong-puno ng regulasyon, di po ba batas ng simbahan. But dito sa kay Paul, hindi niya in-stress yung ano, sabi a while ago you preach about the there are no more Gentile Jews nor free nor slave, no po, wala nang pagtatangi, ibig ko sabihin.
Okay, wala pong pagtatangi sa usapin ng ebanghelyo. Pangkaligtasan. Hindi po ibig sabihin noon na wala na tayong pakialam sa mga doktrina. Ang tunay na mananampalataya ng ebanghelyo ay masugid siya sa mga tunay na doktrina. Kaya wag nating gamitin si Pablo na parang wala siyang pakialam sa doktrina. Yung pinakapunto ng Galacia ay pag-iingat nga sa mga turo ng salita ng Diyos. Yung sinabi niyang, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Yan po'y Galatians 2:20 na tumutukoy sa usaping doktrina ng justification by faith. Paano tayo tinatanggap ng Diyos? Kaya wag nating gamitin yung salitang yun ni Pablo na parang sinasabi niya, wag na tayong makialam sa doktrina. Ay, yung ang teksto na yun ay pinapakita ni Pablo yung pagkasigasig niya sa katuruan ng salita ng Diyos.
Opo, tama po yan.
Okay, so, other questions? Any other thought? Glenn?
Pastor, bakit ayaw ng Diyos i-save ang lahat?
Gusto nga eh, sabi, God decides.
But hindi nangyayari daw?
Ayun ang magandang tanong. Hindi nangyayari dahil nire-reject. Nire-reject dahil sa kanilang kasalanan. At mas pinipili nila ang kasalanan. Sa makatawid, if anyone is damned, it's not because of the absence of offer. If anyone is damned, it is because of his sin. If anyone is saved, it is because of the grace of God. Kaya either way, we don't blame God for anyone's damnation, but we praise Him for anyone's salvation. So, babalik tayo rito sa katotohanan, God desires the salvation of all. At buong puso kong pinaniniwalaan yan. Kaya wala akong pangingimi pag may kausap ako kahit isang tao, hindi ko kailangang malaman sa isip ko, elect ba ito o hindi. Ang gusto ko lang malaman, siya'y makasalanan na inaanyayahan ng Panginoon at pwede kong sabihin sa kanyang isahan, gusto kang maligtas ng Diyos. At lumapit ka sa kanya, inaanyayahan ka niya kay Kristo. So yan yung pagkakaiba. Sa hyper-Calvinists, they will have hesitation kasi gusto muna nila ng mga evidensya na ito'y elect. Hindi natin kailangan yun. Ang kailangan lang natin ay ang garantiya ng salita ng Diyos. He desires the salvation of all. So, go ahead, Clark.
Pag nag-evangelize tayo, pag ni-reject na yung gospel, babalikan po ba siya? Or iniisip ba siya hindi elect or elect? Ano ba ang dapat i-treat ng ganun?
Well, unang-una, where there is sincerity of offer, there will be grief over rejection. Hindi tayo magkakaroon ng attitude na nire-reject niya, wala akong pakialam, reprobate ka. Hindi ganun ang attitude natin, kundi where there is rejection, anong sabi ng Panginoon? Matthew 23:37, yung tumangis siya, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you would not. You were not willing, and he cried over it. At ganun din tayo. hindi natin pagagaangin yung rejection just because sabihin natin hindi naman siya elect. Kundi magkakaroon tayo ng kung hanggat willing siyang makinig, walang dahilan na hindi natin siya balikan. There are people we know who have resisted grace for years. And yet in the end, God is merciful to him. Tim.
Follow up sa tanong ni Gen nung una. Kasi bali yung isang naririnig ko naman na sagot doon, sabi nila na di ba ang Diyos ang kumikilos, yun nga, kumikilos sa puso ng tao para tumanggap. So, kaya niyang iligtas ang lahat kung gusto niya. So, yung tanong, bakit hindi ganun ang ginawa ng Diyos? Kumbaga, yung power ng Diyos, kaya niyang iligtas. Pag sabi, ni-reject, pero kaya hindi sila naligtas dahil nag-reject sila. Pero alam natin na sa power ng God, kaya niyang kumilos para walang mag-reject. Kumbaga, walang mag-reject.
Pagdating sa choice of whether exercising mercy or justice, eh ito'y nasa soberano ng pagpapasya ng Diyos. And Romans 11:22 says, "Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but kindness towards you." So sinasabi niya riyan ay yung soberanong pagpapasya ng Panginoon, whether it is the exercise of His just wrath, which everybody deserves, or the exercise of His mercy, which nobody deserves. Either way, it will be His sovereign determination. But we come back to the point that if anyone is damned, it is because of his sin. If anyone is saved, it is because of his grace. Ano pa?
Excuse me. I'm just curious, since there is a qualifying conditions for the salvation of humanity. Yung bang dalangin bendisyon ng pare at dalangin ng mga kaanak at kaibigan na sa isang namatay na hindi believer kay Jesus, eh nakakatulong kaya?
Well, maliwanag po sa salita ng Diyos na ang paanyaya ng biyaya ay dito lamang sa buhay na ito. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, tinutukoy yung works done in the body. Hahatulan tayo sa mga bagay na nangyari sa ating pangbuhay na pangkatawan. Tumutukoy po yan sa buhay natin sa mundo. Kaya pag natapos na yung buhay sa mundo, na tayo namatay, walang panalangin, walang seremonya, walang gawa ng relihiyon na makapagpapabago sa kalagayan ng namatay. May kwentong binigay ang Panginoon tungkol dyan, yung mayaman at si Lazaro sa Lucas 16, 20 and following. Yung pareho silang namatay at sinabi na yung mayaman na naging masama sa kanyang buhay ay iminulat niya yung kanyang mata sa kapahamakan. At unay humiling siya na bigyang relief yung kanyang paghihirap, hindi pwede. At pagkatapos nun, ang sumunod niyang hiniling ay kumaari ba na si Lazaro na nasa paraiso ay ipadala sa mga nabubuhay pa niyang kapatid para mabalaan daw sila sa kanyang kalagayan. Anong sabi ni Abraham sa kanya? Dapat silang makinig kay Moises at mga propeta o sa madaling salita, salita ng Diyos, doon sila makinig. At kung hindi sila makikinig, eh hindi maaari na mayroong patay na bumalik sa kanila para sila balaan. Ang tinutukoy lang po niyan ay yung pagkakataon dito lang sa buhay na ito. May pagkakataon ka makinig ng salita ng Diyos. Kapag hindi ka nakinig sa salita ng Diyos sa panahon ng paanyaya, walang pagbabagong mangyayari kapag tayo namatay na. Bendisyon man niya ng pari, o banal na tubig, panalangin, pasyam, kahit pasyam po, at ano pang mga gagawin, wala na pong pagbabagong mangyayari sa namatay. Ang pagkakataon po ay dito lang sa buhay na ito. That's a good question. Any last thought or two? Jojo.
Pastor, saan daw po galing ang Arminianism at ano po daw ito?
Arminianism ay galing naman sa isang tagapagtaguyod nito na si James Arminius or Jacobus Arminius. Si Arminius ay isang guro nung ika-16-17 siglo, at nung siya'y mamatay, yung kanyang mga itinuro ang ginamit ng kanyang mga tagasunod na iprotesta sa Dutch Church, yung tinatawag ng Remonstrance. Kaya yung mga naniniwala sa itinuro ni Arminius, ang tawag ay Arminianism. So Arminian, from Arminius. Glenn. Well, still majority Arminians, but when was that? 2-3 months ago, Time Magazine published a cover story of what he calls 10 Ideas Changing the World. Guess what? Number 3, Calvinism. Calvinism is making stride in theological influence around the world. So very excited. These are very exciting times when it comes to yung resurgence of Calvinistic thought. Eh, nung nagsimula ako, 80s, it was like a voice in the wilderness. Yet, I have seen, over more than 2 decades, I have seen the resurgence of Calvinism. So I'm not a pessimist when it comes to the influence and the potential of Calvinistic theology.
Samantalahin ko na lang po itong pagkakataon na ito, Pastor, kasi wala pa ako sa Sunday. May biyahe ako eh.
Sige, go ahead.
Bagamat alam ko, tatalakayin niyo po yung Arminianism next week. Pero I think nabanggit ko po ito sa inyo regarding yung sa much-debated passage dun sa Hebrews 6:4-6. I think ito yung isang pinangahawakan ng mga Arminianism eh. Yung salvation can be lost. Actually, I'm still reading it a lot of time and I try to research. Kasi pag binasa po natin dito, parang, kung dito mismo sa kontekstong to, parang nawawala yung salvation. Ano po yung view nyo po rito?
It's a good question. And yes, it's one of the most debated passages sa Biblia, Hebrews 6:4, na sinabi, if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Ang issue rito ay sinasabi ba ng writer dyan na nawawala ang salvation? Well, my contention is, it's not possible that is what the writer means because sa ibang portion ng Hebrews, maliwanag niya sinabi na yung salvation is to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:22 at iba pang mga passages, he is able to save them to the uttermost. So kung yan ang sinabi niya sa ibang talata ng Hebrews, hindi niya pwedeng i-contradict dito na bigla niyang sabihin na it's not to the uttermost. So what is Hebrews 6:4 saying? It is saying in brief summary, mahabang mga paliwanag yan, but in brief summary, it is saying it is possible for a person to have many of the blessings that belong to the saved. I'm not saying salvation, but one can have the blessings that also belong to the saved and yet fall short of real salvation. So ano yung mga sinabing halimbawa doon? The blessings of the age to come. Ibig sabihin niya yung mga bagay na dumating na rito kay Kristo na paukol pa sa langit ay nagsimula na ngayon. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Marami siyang binanggit ron. Ang punto niya ay maraming mga bagay ang maaaring tanggaping pagpapala ng mga taong yet they fall short of salvation. And where does that happen? This is a sobering warning. Where does that happen? It happens in the church. Members of the church may have all the blessings for the church, and in that sense, they share in all those blessings that belong to the saved. Yet, it is a reality that some members of a gospel church may yet fall short of salvation. Yan ang sinasabi na may sinabi rin si John, 1 John 2:19, na yung mga hindi nagpatuloy. So, yun ang sinasabi dyan na they fall away. There are those who belong to the church who in the end will fall away because they fell short of salvation. So, hindi ito yung mga taong saved tapos nawala ang salvation. Hindi po yan. Ito yung mga taong itinuring na saved ng church and yet ultimately prove that they were not saved at all. That they were hypocrites is the language of the New Testament. Follow up, reaction, last thought. Jojo.
Pastor, yun ba yung apostate?
Yung?
Apostate.
Yes. Dalawa yan, hypocrite and apostates. Hypocrites are those who continue in the church until their death. And people don't realize that they were not saved at all. So they die hypocrites. And yan ang sinabi sa 1 Timothy chapter 5, na there are people whose judgment already appears, while others, their judgment follows after them. Sabihin, yung judgment nila, doon na sa judgment day mismo, hindi mo nalaman dito. That's the hypocrite. The apostate is the person who overthrows his faith. Yung kanyang professed faith ay kanyang binitiwan talaga. Kaya, kung maalala ninyo sa isa kong article sa Herald of Revival pa noon, may article ako na ang title ay Apostasy When the Hypocrite Becomes Honest. So, the apostate is more honest than the hypocrite, but they're both lost. So it's a sobering warning, but a warning with consolation. Based on our Calvinistic doctrine, those who are truly saved, no matter yung mga struggles natin in the way of sanctification and perseverance, those who are truly Christ's are preserved by God and they persevere in grace. And that's the consolation for afflicted souls. Let's close in prayer. Ibinabalik namin sa iyo, Panginoon, ang pagpapasalamat sa mga bagay na tinalakay namin sa umagang ito at panalangin namin na taus-puso naming at buong sigasig na panghawakan ng aming mga doktrina, hindi bilang pagsunod sa sinumang taong kagaya ni John Calvin, kundi pagsunod sa iyong salita. At sa usaping pinag-aralan namin ngayon, help us, Lord, to really hold fast to and even love dearly the doctrines that have been labeled as Calvinism, the doctrines of your sovereign grace. And as we love it, yet help us not to abuse it. Help us not to go beyond the dictates of scriptures, that we may truly speak only that which is taught in scripture, not to abuse it, but at the same time to exercise patience with those who are in error. And not to abuse it to such an extent that we think only Calvinists are Christians. And at the same time, may we hold fast to the truth that you desire the salvation of all, even as you have chosen sovereignly to save only those whom you have chosen. So be with us in the application of this truth. And help us, Lord, to be a church that continues to mature, continues to hold fast, continues to be principled on the doctrines at hand. And we give you back the glory and the praise, and may the profit be ours. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.